Welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. And oh boy, are we in for a treat. As you know, we've made a commitment here at Advanced Living to bring forth value. It's based on a prayer that I say daily. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes. So that's what we're about here at Advanced Living, and of course that's a massive, major goal, but step by step, one day at a time, one thought at a time, one show at a time, bringing forth value to you. And as we get started today, I want to give a brief thank you to our sponsor, AdvancedLivingComfort.com. When you check that out, you'll find a plug-in item that helps mitigate the stress of our high-tech electric world. It's used by medical doctors, used by people like Jack Canfield, Michael Beckwith, folks with a lot of spiritual consciousness. So check out AdvancedLivingComfort.com. And now, wow, what a treat we have today. You've probably been among the billions of people on the planet that have looked around and in various ways have said, wow, what's going on here? This place is not working for us. Something got goofed up somewhere along the line. And of course, for thousands of years, people at various levels have been making attempts. Well, what if we, living at this time on the planet, had this rare opportunity to actually bring forth the fruition of what has been the yearnings of humanity ever since people have gathered in communities and wanted to have families and to be respectful to each other and the environment. Yeah, so yeah, this is that important, folks, and as the show goes on, you'll begin to find out why. And the main reason that we have for this is a very unique gentleman. His name is Foster Gamble, and you may not have heard of him before, but oh, get ready for some fun, because Foster Gamble is the direct descendant of the late James Gamble, who's the soap maker and the founder of the U.S. Consumer Goods Corporation, Procter & Gamble. Well, growing up in Cincinnati, Ohio, Foster, benefiting from being born into a wealthy family, he lived his childhood in a position of privilege and power where he attended elite private schools and attended a collegiate career at Princeton. It's a great educational opportunity he had. And while his family thought he was being groomed to be a leader in the establishment in their business, Foster had an innate curiosity to make sense out of a world with so much potential for good that had deteriorated into a place of suffering, pain, and abuse of billions of his global human family. His long and persistent quest for answers led him to choose a different path. And this quest began when he was a young boy. And Foster had an inquisitive personality that led him to envision a world scenario of, get this, a universal energy source. Energy for all of us. And a lifelong journey in pursuit of knowledge, he involved himself in many intellectual subjects. He was discontent with the destructive consequences produced by the current power structure in the world and the resultant massive global suffering. Well, he set out to make a documentary that unveiled the true reality of our existence in the 21st century, and even more importantly, took the time and often exhausting effort necessary to offer meaningful suggestions and action steps that the average citizen can take to get involved and make a real difference. Now, this documentary that he's done is called Thrive, and it is his brainchild and worked on with his wonderful wife and so many others, and his background goes into other things. He was also the co-founder of the California Alliance to Stop the Spray, and this is an organization consisting of health professionals and individuals who share the same common goal of opposing the treatment of residential communities with pesticides. Yes, you know, having planes fly over your neighborhood and drop pesticides all over everyone. So this is quite a wonderful human being with broad-spread caring, and I'm just so excited to welcome onto our program Foster Gamble. Hello, Foster.
Hello, Ken. Thank you for having me on. It's a delight to be with you and your audience.
Well, it's a rare treat. And this movie, Thrive, that you've done, it seems to be having quite a universal appeal, where often other films that go into politics and conspiracy and other agendas like that that seem to appeal to a smaller, mostly male audience. What's the difference here with Thrive?
Well, I love that question because I had the sheer delight of making this movie in close partnership with my dear wife, Kimberly. And she, besides being a very skilled producer and director, just brought in feminine energy to these topics of science and energy and conspiracy in a way that frankly, I've never seen before. There's a lot of terrific information out there in videos about some of the things that are going on behind the closed doors, behind the curtain, that is causing so much destruction in people's lives. But too often, I think, for the general population especially, the information is delivered in a scary sort of male, angry, ranting way that has driven a lot of people away, and especially women and girls. And Kimberly was just very clear with me from the beginning. I mean, I'm a pretty soft-spoken guy to begin with, but she was still very helpful in reminding me to present the information from my confidence about the solutions, about the ways out that I know about, and let people have their own emotional space rather than filling the space with my own passion or my own anger or my own fear or something like that. And she was really rigorous in coaching me to keep that tone. And what we have found in response is that it's being universally appealing to all ages. I mean, we don't recommend below 16 unless it's a special circumstance or the super mature and informed child, but with all ages and across cultures and across genders, people are just universally feeling not only safe to let this information in, but also really inspired and hopeful as they connect the dots and see the ways out.
Wow. Huge. That. Thank you, Kimberly.
Yes, me too.
That's just great. And for our listeners that are beginning to get acquainted with you, what is kind of some of the history behind what inspired you to put this movie together?
Well, I would say that there were two major periods of inspiration for me. One of them I describe in the movie when I was riding on a school bus when I was 14, and looking out the window, and I just kind of went into this reverie and suddenly saw this vision in the light in the blinking through the trees. And I saw this pattern of energy. It was like a whirlpool. And then I saw an atom in it, and I saw then a solar system in it, and I thought, huh, somehow those two are the same, with something kind of hot and energetic at the center, with little things whipping around the outside. But then I felt this whole body realization that somehow or other I was that same pattern, about halfway between in scale between a tiny atom and a vast solar system. And I didn't know what I had just experienced, but I became intrigued for the rest of my life to find out.
Wow.
And I started spending my extra afternoons in the physics lab, building different devices to try to mimic what I had seen. And I was doing avid reading and visiting with various professors, trying to figure out what it was. And ultimately, over many decades, this led to the realization of the importance of what I call what mathematicians call the torus, or the toroidal vortex, which I can talk more about. It turns out to be the fundamental energy pattern throughout the universe at all scales. So on the kind of scientific visionary side, that was a major inspiration. On the other side, when I was graduating from college, I was very concerned about the risk of a nuclear holocaust. And I was watching us destroy the environment, and we were invading Cambodia for no reason that I could understand, and I just really came to the realization that the so-called adults in charge either didn't know what they were doing or were very poor at it, or had some other agenda that I didn't understand. And when I graduated from college, I discovered that I was inheriting some money from my grandparents, which was a super blessing, just like I won the lottery, and had just enough money that if I managed it well, I could actually choose what I wanted to do with my life and help out some people along the way.
Wow.
So I devoted my life to figuring out what in the world is going on that is in the way of our natural instinct to thriving. And if I found an answer to that, then I would end up making a movie about it. And I figured maybe it'd be 5, even 10 years. Well, it was more like, 40, 50 years in the discovery. But Thrive is the final result.
Ah, well, this is so exciting. And, of course, we love the name of the movie, Thrive. I mean, it's like the American dream that's been, for our country, that's been the carrot dangled in front of us. If you work hard enough, if you apply yourself, one thing and another, you too can, have this life that you dream about. And so here's this movie called Thrive, and it's coming at a time where the economy globally, for so many people, are hurting. I'm just kind of wondering how you got to the name of Thrive.
Well, that's an interesting one. Earlier in life, I was trained in advanced driving. I wasn't going to become a race car driver, but I wanted to really be as safe as I could and teach my kids how to drive safely. So I took an advanced driving course, and one of the things that they taught us is that the deeper into the curve you can be watching when you're driving, the more easily you can coordinate the vehicle that you're driving. And it turned out to be just magically true. And so when I started to make this film and looked for a name for the film, I tried to look as deep into the curve of where humanity could go as I could. And then I tried to boil that down to one word. And the word was Thrive. In your opening prayer, Ken, you said it so beautifully when you said a global loving community that works for everyone. I mean, I haven't heard a better definition of thriving on planet Earth than that. And that was exactly the vision that has been motivating me. And I know from my experience that that is possible. And as I've been investigating what's in the way, both the good news and the bad news is that virtually all of our major problems are man-made. the environmental problems, the wars, the economic collapse, the violence, the poor food, you know, that you trace it back, and it's virtually all man-made. And, you know, it's a little humbling for a human to recognize that. On the other hand, it turns out that there's quite a small number of people who are perpetrating an agenda that results in most of this unnecessary suffering. And if these problems are man-made, that means that humans can also fix them. And I actually believe now, after decades of research, that as people wake up to what's really going on, how we're being duped, and what we can do about it, we can actually turn this around within a couple of decades.
Wow. Folks, let's breathe that in. A couple of decades. I mean, what an opportunity we have. And Foster, thank you for helping to present us with this opportunity. Now, I'm wondering, Thrive's been out there, it was introduced 11-11-11?
Right.
And so we have just a few weeks into this. Can you share a little bit about the sort of response it's getting?
Yeah, I'd be delighted. You know, Kimberly and I always had big visions, but frankly, we have been totally shocked and completely thrilled with the response that we're getting. The film has been seen by hundreds of thousands of people all across the world already, and there have been around 2,000 self-created home and public screenings where people just took the initiative, oftentimes just even from the trailer alone, to gather a group, you know, whether it's 10 people in your home or up to 1,000 people in a public venue, and to show Thrive. And we've just been getting a flood of such heartwarming letters from all different countries of people writing in saying that their personal experience of being relieved to finally have a sense of why there's so much unnecessary suffering, and to also have a grounded sense of what we can do about it. And people are already organizing Thrive groups in their communities and going through our top 10 recommended actions and organizing their own initiatives. And that's exactly what we're looking to do, is to inspire a self-creating movement. We so trust the creativity of the human spirit that we're just telling people, take the information we've provided, find out whatever else you need to, organize yourselves, and then write into our website with your success stories, and we'll let people know. And that's what's happening already, even just in a few weeks. It's really exciting and heartwarming.
Wow. This is thrilling, and what a coincidence to me, because I'm listening to the pattern that you're using, and I got to watch part of a movie about Ralph Nader, quite an uncommon man, and one of the things that led to the success of his movement with getting so many people involved was that he relied on people's creativity and gave them a lot of freedom to move projects ahead. And it sounds like that's a lot of what you're doing.
You know, I hadn't thought of that before, but I got to hear him speak in person once. And now I'm recalling that he was talking about that. I appreciate that reminder. I mean, I think that's the key. We're past the age of centralized power. And natural living systems, when they're healthy, empower all of their parts, just like the parts of your body. They can work together if they're getting the nutrition and the freedom that they need. And that's what's beginning to happen through things like, you know, the Occupy movement, waking people up to that we don't have to take this anymore, and that most people are not in favor of what's going on and not benefiting from it. And now we need to sit down with each other and figure out what we can do about it, and then take our own initiative.
Yeah, and one of the things to me, Abraham Lincoln was one of, I'm sure, many that expressed the theme, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are bickering and squabbling among each other about petty things, it's hard for them to come together and rally over the things that really matter most to them. And here you are, it looks like, giving us a way to gather in community and look at something and thank you for bringing all the credibility that you bring to this, the research. It's not just one neighbor talking to another and the neighbor thinking, geez, my neighbor's gone nuts. He's probably had too much to drink or not enough to drink or, you know, something. And so here, to be able to share this, and then you start to find out, by gosh, we have all this stuff in common, and here's something we can do together. That's going to build a cohesion among people that I think is profound.
Well, I really appreciate your recognition of that, because my wife and I have really worked, you know, 15 to 17-hour days for years and years and years to try to do just that, to provide a user-friendly and very credible fact-based story as opposed to just some guy's opinion. And it, we have been receiving wonderful letters from people who knew parts of this information. And they went through a lot of what I went through for years. Of when you try to bring up something about UFOs or about free energy or about some conspiracy that you really think is true, or even about true liberty, if you try to bring up those subjects in a casual conversation, without being able to connect the rest of the dots and present the evidence, basically people look at you like you're really weird. So a lot of people are saying, thank you for providing Thrive, because now I'm just giving it to my family. They're sitting down for 2 hours and watching it, and they're going, oh my gosh, maybe this stuff is true. Let's talk. And then they're starting to have the conversation, because we're not interested in convincing anybody to believe us. We're interested in engendering critical thinking so that you find out what you need to find out, confer with others, and then take your own initiative. And that's what's beginning to happen at, you know, at family gatherings and in the workplace where people didn't used to feel comfortable to bring these things up. There are a lot of Thrive conversations going on where finally, you know, the red shirts can talk to the blue shirts and the liberals and the progressives and different genders and different races and different ages are coming together at a new and transcendent level, at the level of, well, what are human rights? And how are we all being screwed by secret things going on behind the curtain? And what are the principles by which we can bring in solutions that transcend political parties or racial ethnicities or any of that type of stuff?
This is just so fabulous. It was in the 1980s. I happened to be at a talk given by Robert Mueller, who was involved in the United Nations for the first 40 years.
Yep.
And he's now, I believe, off in Costa Rica with the University of Peace that he's created.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he mentioned is that, and then you bring up in the film, we have enough resources that we could solve all of our problems, and you go into, you know, some of just how little it would take to do that. So to me, this is wonderful to give us this place to rally around and then to help us make the breakthroughs so that there's some credibility to this in the common ground. Wow.
You know, we developed an original theme song for the movie, and if, even if people haven't seen the movie yet, go on to our website at thrivemovement.com, and there's a free music video that we created with our theme song. And the last three lines of the song all repeat the refrain, we all have what it takes to thrive. And that is one of the most inspiring realizations from my 40 years of research, is that we have everything we need right here. This doesn't need some intervention from another planet. It doesn't need even ideas that we don't have yet. It just is a matter of people discovering that there are energy sources that we can tap if they're not being suppressed, that will provide plenty of clean, safe energy for everybody on the planet. There are economic systems that, if they have integrity, can provide the prosperity. Where I've been working with some economists who estimate that each person in each family would working the same or less than they are now would have, just with an honest money system, would have between 3 and 10 times the income and the assets that they have now without doing anything different, just having an honest money system where we're not getting ripped off.
Wow.
So, and there's plenty of food to go around. So we're actually living, you know, in a real heaven right now. And as we say in the movie, I found out that we're not a mistake. We're just mistaken. We are really divine souls that have been duped by some scams that are now getting exposed.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that we're not a mistake. We've just been mistaken. That is just absolutely so important to reframe, because the massive guilt and shame that people have lived with.
Exactly.
And to be able to be lifted out of that and to come into a place of feeling, wow, we're deserving. And you know, no one would be surprised, Foster, if they got a cookbook and there were a bunch of errors in the publishing, and every time you followed one of the recipes, it came out terrible.
That's right.
They wouldn't hate themselves and think, I'm a terrible cook. They'd go, wow, this cookbook isn't working well.
Exactly.
And
that's why I say that this thing could turn around within a couple of decades, because, you know, you and I don't wake up in the morning. And I invite your listeners to ask yourself also, you know, we don't wake up in the morning thinking, how can I control everybody else's life on the planet? So it doesn't really occur to us that there are a few people who actually do that and have been engaged with a lot of money and a lot of technology for quite a while in figuring out how to do that. And it's a harsh reality to confront. But unless we do, we won't have the responses that will be commensurate to the predicament that we're in. And I personally trained and taught in martial arts, in karate and then in the nonviolent martial art of Aikido for 15 years. And it was very grounding for me, because having nice thoughts and being kind to people is wonderful. It's critical. And at the same time, the first imperative of self-defense is an accurate assessment of your reality. So if two people are attacking you from the front, but you don't see the one from behind, you're going to get hit over the head. And that's what's happening. You know, we haven't been aware. Some people have been unwilling to look. Most people just haven't had the information of what's really going on with our economy, with our food, with our health care, and now with the Internet. As long as we can keep it open, people are getting informed through websites and films like ours, and there's a lot of other wonderful movements out there that are bringing this information to the forefront and helping people get the tools to organize. So I think we're at this critical road, this critical fork in the road in human evolution, where we either put on the blinders, put our head back in the sand, and go down the road toward a totalitarian global dictatorship. And I don't think that would be very pleasant for anyone. Or we take the other path, and we actually explore the conversation of what would our civilization look like if we were rigorously based in all our systems on integrity and on freedom. And I think that's where we are. It's a risky moment, but it's a hugely exciting moment in the history of humanity to be alive and to be able to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. The wonderful, wonderful opportunity that is before us, and people like you taking 40, 50 years to study and then 10 years of work to put a film together that is the culmination of all that. I mean, the timing couldn't be better. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, I really set out to save people time. I was privileged with the time to be able to follow the questions, do the research that most people don't have the time to do. So I dedicated myself to completing that and then sharing it with people so that people could just stand on the shoulders of that and not have to all independently reinvent that wheel. And I'm thrilled to say that it seems to be working.
Yes. Now the website, again, people can go to for this?
It's www.thrivemovement.com. And you can either rent the movie on the website or you can buy it on DVD. But there's also, you could spend literally months or years on this website and just learning about all the different areas, the 12 major areas that we consider that human beings are active in. And then the most critical issues that we think are facing humanity, and how to support yourself while getting involved in terms of emotional support and connecting with friends and resolving conflict in groups that are being active. And we look to provide the tools as best we can to help people get informed and get active.
Yes. Now, you'd mentioned something to me that I think is so very important. With the Internet, we have a period of time where there's basically global free access to all kinds of information. And there was something, President Obama was asking, and I don't know if that went through or not, for emergency powers. If things got to a point where he declared some sort of emergency, the Internet could be shut down.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the status of that is at the moment, but what I want to be able to, you know, and then you'd echo that it, having the Internet available is so important, and not knowing, like, given the people that that have a lot of money and a lot of ability to manipulate to political institutions, it seems like it would be in their best interest to put major restrictions on the Internet as soon as possible.
Yes, there are many forces that are trying to take over control of the Internet. There are big corporations that are trying to do it. The UN is trying to do it. The U.S. government is trying to do it. And in other countries, like China, they've already done it. And they really censor most of the important information away from people's computers. So it's an absolutely critical issue. And though I may offend certain people's political allegiances, I have to say, and you'll see the film and the website will back up with the evidence of why, is that we can't trust any of those organizations, including the United States government, to have control of this. It needs to belong to the people and stay open, because we have a whole section in the film and on the website on following the money, and it's really helpful to follow the money when the story doesn't make sense, to figure out, you know, what are the motivations that are going on that are being so destructive in many people's lives. And so as the result of many, many years of research, I ended up trying to distill it down to one graph, one chart. We call it the Follow the Money Pyramid. And in that pyramid, you'll see that we're all at the bottom rung, the people going about their daily lives. And above us is government, because government has quite a bit of control, increasing amount of control over our lives. But that's not the top of the power chain. That's only level two. And because above the government is the corporatocracy, is the corporations that basically buy the influence over politicians, particularly with after the Citizens United Supreme Court decision that took the cap off how much corporations could contribute to political campaigns. Now it's just out in the open that by the time people get to any high level of political office, they're so beholden to the corporations and the banks that they're not really representing us. They're representing the money interests. And so above the corporatocracy, a lot of people think, well, the corporations are now running the world, and they are a hugely powerful entity, but they depend for their success on getting cheap money from the major banks. You know, from Citigroup and Wells Fargo and Bank of America and Goldman Sachs and so forth, they have to get their discounted money, so they're beholden to the big banks. Now, the big banks are part of a network of the central banking system, the Federal Reserve System in this country. So the next level of the ladder is the central banking in each of the countries. Because almost every country in the world now has a central bank, and they're all tied together in this international control grid. There's only about, I think, five or six major countries that don't have a linked-in central bank, and these are exactly the countries that the U.S. has been systematically attacking, you know, from Iraq to Egypt to Libya to North Korea. It's basically, if you look behind the words of the so-called axis of evil, they're the countries that have held out against the central banking system. And so there's a whole other hidden agenda behind these so-called humanitarian invasions. But that's a whole other story. But to go back up the rest of the ladder,
yeah,
the central bank in each of these major countries is all part of the international central banking system, and that we know is the IMF and the World Bank. That's level six of the pyramid. And then above them is the central bank of central banks, which is, most people have never even heard of, the Bank for International Settlements. And that's basically a Rothschild-created bank that really controls money throughout virtually every country in the world, worldwide. And so that's the system. So when you look to see why isn't Obama doing what he promised, even if he's really well-intended, he's working for six levels above him who put him in power and who are demanding that he cooperate with their agenda. And that's the kind of understanding that once we get it, we can withdraw our participation from these banks, from these particular destructive corporations, from the military, and from the corporate media that keeps us from hearing these kind of truths.
Wow. I love it. As you're sharing all of this, I so like the idea. There's an old song by Dion from the 60s, Abraham, Martin, and John.
Yeah.
You may recall it or not, about how some very wonderful people that had a lot of humanitarian aspirations were basically assassinated.
Yeah.
And so when I heard that, it started to help me to say, well, what is it that we can do so that the movement of love that is in humanity can foster and grow and be able to withstand leaders being taken out and not fall aside.
Yeah.
And so it makes me wonder, I mean, I love what you were, you know, doing with Thrive, and I'm just thinking, forgive me, it's like a pretend worst-case scenario. Is there a way, because your website has a huge amount of information, and I'm just wondering, is there any guide to being able to download some of this so that if the Internet had a hiccup, an oops, someone decided to pull the plug for whatever reason, that there could be millions upon millions of homes and computers that would have the basics of what Thrive is offering downloaded and available so that if the Internet went down, we could still share this information with each other?
Well, I really appreciate that question. And people are welcome to print out any part of the pages of our Internet site that they want to. And just for the reasons that you're describing, in worst-case scenarios, we also have multiple server backups in different countries around the world.
Okay, great.
So if someone were to take this site down, it would be back up within minutes. But if the Internet of the entire country went down and stayed down under their control, or they tried to censor it within these borders, it would be a good idea for people to print out as much of this information as they find useful for them, and we've certainly done the same in numerous places.
Okay, yeah, well, I will take that upon myself to, you know, to do that and then find out, well, just how much space does it take up? How many gigabytes of information?
Well, it's huge, but if you take out the parts that are particularly meaningful to you, we'll all have parts of the puzzle. And also, you know, you've probably heard of this group Anonymous, which it really is a worldwide group of brilliant computer programmers who have committed themselves to defending free speech and the release of the truth all over the world. And they have let various organizations know, including us, that they really respect what we're doing. And they've got our backs, and if somebody tries to keep the truth from getting out, then those entities will need to pay a price, and they'll do everything they can to restore the flow of true information.
Hmm. Wow. This is great. I so appreciate that we hear some encouragement that this can be handled and that there is backup so that we can do a good assessment of what's going on and know that there are not just billions of caring hearts, but there's some people that are ready to stand strong and fight in every way that they can to make sure we have access to this information.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's so exciting to me about what's represented in the Occupy movement. You know, some people like to write it off as, well, you know, it's a ragtag group just, you know, in the park in their tents with no specific goals. Anybody who thinks that has grossly misunderstood what's going on in over 2,000 cities around the world already. And the people actually able to spend the time, you know, outdoors at these movements are a tiny fraction of what they call the 99%. I'd say it's 99.999%. It's really everyone except the very few people who are consciously perpetrating this agenda to take control. And people are waking up. And a lot of these Occupy cities have requested copies of Thrive, and they're accessing our website and using our tools as well as many other valuable tools to educate themselves and to inform the discussions that they're having on a nightly basis of what is the alternative to the traditional authoritarian state and this trickle-down economics that we can create in the place of what we have now that can actually be based on real justice and real integrity. And so I'm more confident than I've ever been in my life that the truth is emerging. And the popular will is there in the vast, vast majority of people as they get information. And these people are linking up electronically as well as socially and creating, as Paul Hawkins says, the greatest movement in history. And there has actually never been a global movement for peace and justice before. And we're in the middle of it right now. I think it's going to be kind of ugly in the transition. It already is when you look in places like Egypt, and most true revolutions, unfortunately, suffer violent repression in the beginning. But I have real confidence that humanity is waking up and our immune system is kicking in on a planetary-wide basis, and that we will succeed in fulfilling our possibility for exactly the global loving community that that works for everyone that you're describing.
Oh, this is just wonderful. And to share some of the scope of what's happening, I understand, I don't know if it's still at 10, but you've dubbed your film in, what, at least 10 languages?
Yes, 10 languages, and various people in other countries that didn't have the language are already translating some of our clips, and the website is translated into hundreds of languages through a Google translation, and there are already people. You know, we ran out of the money to translate into more languages, but there are people who are approaching us from various countries like Brazil and Portugal, because we weren't able to do Portuguese yet. People talking about possibly funding either the subtitles or the dubbing into that language, and from other countries as well. So, we really intended that this be a media opportunity for a global conversation, and that necessitated that it be in multiple languages. And it's just so exciting to be getting, you know, Facebook responses and letters and emails and phone calls from people all over the world.
Wow. We're basically able to take down many of the barriers that have been put up. And we start to discover, my gosh, people have different customs in their countries, different languages, they have different spiritual dogma, way they rituals that they like to use. But when you get down underneath it all and start to look at some of the common values, I think you're helping us to uncover that golden thread that unites all of humanity.
Yes, and I looked at your website, Ken, and with a lot of interest at some of the various people you've interviewed and so forth, and clearly everything that you're doing in your show is touching into the various different levels, you know, from health to consciousness to politics and beyond, environment and so forth, all the different levels that it takes for us to be aware of to create a world that that can thrive for everyone. So I really appreciate your vision and the work that you've been doing in getting the word out.
Well, thank you, Foster. To me, only doing what I think any and every loving parent would want to do with their children.
Yes.
Which is to prepare them to have a good life and to be good to each other in the family, and then good to the neighbors and good to the community.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about how many women are responding positively to our film and website in ways that they haven't necessarily to a lot of this information in the past. Because as a lifetime activist, one of the things I recognize is that once the women understand and take on a cause to protect their families, it's going to happen. That's the turning point, and it's happening already.
Oh, wow. Well, this is fabulous. Now, are there any kind of helpful hints that you would offer people to, you know, pathways to get started? Is it first go to your website, get the movie? What would you suggest?
Well, we have in the film and on the website a kind of a recommended top 10 actions for people to consider in their own lives, which don't take a lot of time or money, because there are big things that you know, big political movements, and there are big mass movements and so forth that will happen as groups organize, and that takes a lot of organization and usually a lot of funding. But if you simply look carefully at your own daily life, there's a tremendous amount that you can alter really inexpensively and in a way that actually nurtures you and your finances. And the first one is simply to get as informed as you need to and to speak up and then connect with others. And we really offer the website for free to help people do that. Another that's very powerful is to, if you're banking with one of what we call the tapeworm banks, the ones that are funding so much destruction and ripping people off in this financial collapse. If you're banking at Wells Fargo or Bank of America or Chase or Citibank, Goldman Sachs, something like that, we highly recommend that you take your money and deposit it in your local bank or community credit union, where the money will circulate by necessity in your community, and it'll fund local business and housing and so forth. And that'll help to build a healthy community rather than sucking the finances out of your community, you know, running it to London or New York overnight, and you know, a couple of days later it's funding a coal-powered coal-fired power plant, or funding clear-cutting of forests or something like that. And as well, people should understand that when you put $1,000 in your bank, they can immediately treat it as if you just deposited $10,000, and they can loan out $10,000. So when you take $1,000 out of your bank, you may think, well, you know, I've only got $4,000 in the bank, so I can't make much of a difference. You take that out, you just took out $40,000 of lending power out of that bank, and people are doing it all over the country now, and the banks are starting to pay attention and realize that they need to start behaving better if they're going to keep people making their deposits in these other banks. Another is just to be conscious of what products you buy, you know, where were they made, how were the employees treated, and to, if you have enough money to be investing in something, really look and see what's the result of your investment, not just what's the best potential return, but what actually is helping the environment and treating employees well and that type of thing. One of the single most powerful things you can do is join the movement. And there are several. There's Campaign for Liberty. There's Audit the Fed, various movements like this, which are looking to expose what's really going on with the Federal Reserve, which was just caught just a few days ago again, when they had to disclose the information that they, after being caught loaning out $16 trillion of our money, of our grandchildren's money, to foreign banks, now they've been caught loaning out secretly almost $8 trillion, with a T, to these very banks, to the Goldman Sachs and Citibanks and Chase and Bank of America and so forth. They finally had to reveal it. That's what happened. When people were getting kicked out of their homes and losing their jobs, the banks were getting free money from the Federal Reserve that then you and I have to pay for with our labor for generations. Obviously, that's a huge con, and it's unacceptable. And as Henry Ford says in a quote in our movie, if people really understood how the banking system works, there would be a revolution in the streets before morning. Well, can you spell Occupy? They may not know all the details yet, but they know that most people are getting screwed, and people aren't going to put up with it anymore. And Thrive helps you to understand how that's happening and what we can do about it.
Right. And to me, just a big thank you, because it's one thing to know, geez, I'm getting screwed, and to be frustrated and upset about it. And to me, the piece that you're providing is that someone can now step forward and, in a short amount of time, have this as a frame of reference and facts to put forward, so they're not just some foaming at the mouth, upset person that knows, this is wrong. It's like they can, thanks to you and the ThriveMovement.com, articulate these things.
Exactly. That's our purpose for the whole thing. And I think you mentioned earlier that I had been one of the creators of this California Association to Stop the Spray, or Alliance to Stop the Spray, when we were literally having unknown toxins dumped on our head nightly by these planes flying overhead to get rid of a pest that was actually causing no damage. You know, we went into action in our community and used the same, what we call the sector model, that we describe in Thrive and on our website, where people organized by the sectors of their interest and skill. So people who were good at media, people who were good at in the environment or medicine or health or education and so forth, people could come together and bring their skills into a laser-like coherence where everybody wasn't trying to run around trying to do everything, but we could meet on a weekly basis and organize committees according to these sectors and then focus them all on bringing the integrity to following the money in a situation like being sprayed. And once we did that, we ended up stopping what was a George Bush-started, Homeland Security-funded initiative that would have poisoned, was already poisoning human beings and animals on a vast scale, and we were able to stop that in 6 months. And if we use these same kind of tools, it's one of the reasons why I'm so optimistic, these tools are now available. We can use the same organizational tools to find out what's going on and cohere our actions to turn around this larger scale abuse on a global level.
Mm. Wow. This is just huge. And one of the things that we didn't mention that I think is so very important that you're bringing forward, and if you want to call it the feminine energy, to me it's about when you bring up with all this anger and the frustration and the long-term abuse, there's every reason for there to be great anger, but how do we direct it? In a vengeful way, that doesn't seem to get the job done, and then you remind us of the path of some important people in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Gandhi, Martin Luther King?
Gandhi, Martin Luther King, and you know, you mentioned Abraham, Martin, and John before. From my research, it seems the evidence is pretty overwhelming that both Lincoln and Kennedy were assassinated for their attempts to shut down this central banking fractional reserve system. That's how important that is to the powers that be. So we need to not just have one person here and there trying to stand up against it. It needs to be a decentralized global movement for freedom. And that's a lot of this feminine approach, is the humble decentralization, the kind of wildness of not having to have a single power. And this, I don't want to by any means imply that the feminine energy is not strong. It's actually the strongest force that I know of. And a couple of examples are, we go into the film into these alternative energy devices, what's sometimes called free energy, you know, more accurately radiant energy or zero point energy. There are these devices which access clean, abundant energy right out of the space around us, essentially for free once you buy your device. And the key to that access is, instead of taking the old kind of macho approach of crashing things together in combustion or fission and trying to control the explosion, and meanwhile creating great danger and fighting over fossil fuels and polluting the skies and so forth. Instead, we can have decentralized, easy access, inexpensive access to clean energy. And it's the same way with growing. If we if we humbly look to see how is nature doing it, because the free energy devices basically blend with or dance with this basic Taurus pattern. On the level of our food, the feminine approach is to recognize, okay, how does nature provide its infinite abundance? And it does that through a balance in nature of what's called polyculture, or plants that are intermingled with one another. And there's a balance between the different needs of the different plants that has different insects that keep one another in balance. The macho approach was the Rockefeller-created Green Revolution. They came in and did this vast monoculture where you just plow under all the soil, you only plant one plant, and then you switch to an oil basis of pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizer and try to control all of nature. Now they've gone on to GMO seeds, and it's obviously out of control because it's not in balance with nature. It's not the feminine approach. So another thing we recommend in our
Foster,
top 10 is support organic non-GMO farming. Create a non-GMO zone in your area the same way they've done in thousands of areas throughout Europe and other countries.
Yes. I feel like we're just getting started, and we've blazed through an hour of our time, and I don't know if you'd consider coming back on, because what you're involved in sharing is very important. We didn't get to the energy tools and some of these other things.
I would love to come back sometime, but I am going to need to drop off now because I realize that I have another interview that I need to begin as we speak. So thank
okay.
you very much. I really appreciate you having me on the show, and I congratulate you on the great work that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Foster. Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And beloved listeners, bye-bye to you. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season, and tune in every week to Advanced Living Radio. Bye-bye. God bless.
Let go and let God. Let myself loose and let go of